Oh, good evening. We have a new face this evening. Welcome. How did you hear about us?
Actually, I don't know if you know Ann Hell from the
university. Yes, sure.
I went there as a graduate student, and I now have some free time to in the evening. I've graduated, and he let me know about both groups here, and I'm just kind of trying out different groups and seeing what fits.
Good idea.
I've done some Vipassana before, but this is a little more structured, but it's, you know, just, I think, looking for a community to keep me on paths. So thank you for having me here.
Oh, you're very, very welcome to come. Let's do introductions around.
Ellie.
Dan.
That's
Rob. Wes.
Rob.
Samuel.
Britt.
Matt.
Randy.
Sharon.
Julie. Jane. And Angie. We just finished a week-long retreat up at Jikoji, if you know about that place up on Skyline. And look at all these shiny faces. It's just amazing.
Strong chanting,
yes, indeed. It's all coming out of a very deep place. It's what happens when you sit for a long time. It all just sinks down lower and lower. It was the best put together and run sesshin in all my 40 years of doing this I've ever experienced. It really was. It was just amazing. And Ritu and Wendy got the whole thing going with a huge amount of effort at the very beginning and kept it going all the way through. And then Jane and Ellie created the whole kitchen scene, which took a huge preliminary job, and then created the whole week-long effort. And then everybody else was pitching in on every different kind of level. It was, and coming and going. Francois would slip in and slip away, and suddenly Samia would be there, and then she was gone. It was very, very beautiful. And at the end, Donna Lynn just sat right up there in front of all of us and gave us her mind, gave us her wisdom and her insight and her sense of humor. We just laughed. We laughed so much. It was very fun, but very fun from here. It all was from here. It was very, very beautiful. So I've just been walking around with this big smile on my face. It's just so, so satisfying. Because people came up to me and said to me what kind of experience they had for the sesshin too, you know. And that's what it's for, of course, you know, how powerful an experience it can be for people when the holding space feels safe and I don't want to say solid because nothing is solid in sesshin, but safe enough to fall apart, basically. And having fallen apart, suddenly there's this freedom that people at the end are blessed with. A grace that comes with such long sitting. It's a very, very beautiful experience. So I think we're all very grateful to each other and quite honored by Donna Lynn's, can't say it was a performance, it's what I would call a formance. It just came straight out of the form itself, with nothing in between. Apparently there were some questions that didn't quite get to you, but I suppose that's okay. We can bring them up, but maybe we shouldn't torture you with any more. Thank you for doing that and for being our shuso and taking care of all of us during the 6 week period of practice period. You did a lot, and I think we all appreciated it very much.
The opportunity, all of your support, it's very supportive. People slip in and out and staying the whole time.
How did you feel up there in the seat?
Huh? Can you remember being up there in the seat?
Yeah.
It was very... It was very... I don't really... It was just happening. I just remember it happening. It felt like it happened very quick. And I don't really remember any of the questions. Except for when people would come up to me and say something, I'd go, "What did you ask?" Oh, yeah, I remember that. I felt that. Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, I was kind of petty now. A lot of people came up and said, "I didn't know it could be so much fun." It's going to be that fun.
Oh, that's the idea. It's face-to-face meeting. So however it comes out is how it comes out. Yeah.
The people who came support Jikoji and support the Sangha at a distance, it was fabulous that they came to support us.
Including Nancy.
At long distance.
Well...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just really wonderful. An experience like that, it was, you're coming in here tonight, I had to almost stop from going around kissing everybody here. It felt like a big, you know, a closeness of people that I didn't even know.
Well, we've been studying the precepts, Matt, and we have 10 of them in Zen, and we're on number 8. And it just seems like the absolute perfect one, because it's no hoarding materials or teachings. And I think this whole sesshin thing, including the shuso ceremony, was all about not hoarding materials or teachings. It's taking our own personal interior practice and offering it to anybody who wants to come. Basically, people came from Arcata, they came from San Diego, they came from many, many different places. Some had been sitting for a long time, some were brand new to sitting and had no idea how to do anything, and everyone was given the opportunity by you all, by us, by Jikoji, because Jikoji exists for that purpose. And we talked about the history of Jikoji quite a lot one night, and trying to pin down exactly why we did such a crazy thing, because telling the stories, it made it sound like it was really wild, and it wasn't as wild as it sounded. It really, most of the time, it was just a lot of bureaucratic headaches trying to get the whole thing fit into the neighborhood and into the county and the insurance and all of those things. It was just a big hassle, mostly. But there were some dramatic moments, certainly, and it was all worth the effort, because it was not for us. It was for, we always said it would last 500 years. So it was for everybody who could come and benefit from it for 500 years, starting right then. And now that's what, 25 years ago or something? Close to it. And it's getting better and better. So the precept is about generosity. We tend to protect ourselves often, and one of the ways we protect ourselves is not to go too far out of our way to give. And as I've said, it's a cultural thing. In Middle Eastern cultures, it's very different. Your door is open, your kitchen is open to anyone who comes. We grew up with it, at least I did, with the Christian story that any stranger who comes is Jesus in disguise, and you should feed that person and take care of him or her. But the way we really do live in this culture is not to be so generous, really. It's an old conundrum for us. How far out of our way do we go for others? And that brings us back to that old question of who are others in the first place? How do they get to be other? It's like when Jerome leaped to his feet and grabbed the Buddha off the altar and jammed it in Donnellan's face. Who is this?
Which one
is the Buddha? It's the question. Which one is the Buddha? The Bodhidharma version of this. Look, I brought all these papers and I forgot my Roksu. Obviously. In the midst of all-pervading truth, not being stingy about a single thing. I love that word, stingy. I always, when I talk about this, tell about my friend who crosses the Golden Gate Bridge, which I just did a little while ago, and pays for the people behind her. I thought of it too late. I'd already driven through, and I thought, oh, I could have done that. That would have been really nice. Sometimes they honk and wave, and it's just one of those leftover hippie things that people used to do back in the 60s and 70s, but it has the flavor of this not being stingy. Finding an opening place where the other can be taken in, even strangers. It's a powerful practice and a powerful precept. At first I thought it was about the Dharma, you know, and teachings and something about, I don't know, not withholding the words of Shakyamuni Buddha or something like that. But it's much bigger than that. We don't proselytize in this practice at all. In fact, usually we don't even say we're Buddhists. Only time I do is when I fill out the form in the hospital. If I'm dying, I want a Buddhist there. But otherwise, better not to say, unless directly asked. Dogen says that too. He says it just creates a sense of separation. Oh, you're a Buddhist. Well, I'm a Lutheran. And then immediately you get this sort of frisson between people that just doesn't really serve. Unless you want to get into really deep theological discussion, which sometimes can be interesting, but usually not. Usually we meet on another level. So if you take this not being stingy about a single thing into your life and practice it consciously, it becomes a very strict and kind of shocking little guidance, because it's so easy to cut corners and to keep things closer to us than we really need to do. And yet, of course, we have to be careful. I also tell the story of my friend Ellen, who sat a Jikoji Sesshin, and full of the warmth of human kindness, she drove her little Volkswagen into town and stopped at a red light and turned and beamed at the guy in a truck parked next to her. And when the light turned green, she took off, and he started following her. He followed her all over town. She couldn't get rid of him. He thought she was inviting him, because she was just so, ah, you know. So, of course. So they say there are five kinds of giving. We can give things like Christmas presents or food to the food bank. Protection and refuge is one of them. One of them is the Dharma. And it means the Dharma coming out of our own life and our own intuition and understanding. Not what we know about Shobo Genzo, but what we know. Our own deep truth. And the fourth one is loving kindness. Sometimes that's all we can give. Just patience and kindness. Sometimes we're helpless in the face of what's needed. But one of the most healing things is loving kindness, the tenderness that we can bring to someone's life. It doesn't take much. And then the last one is what we don't do very often in our practice that the Tibetans do all the time, which is the transfer of merit. The assumption is that if we do something like this, that we accumulate merit in some way, that it betters us and our life. And so we give it away for the benefit of all beings, for the welfare of everyone. So that's an idea, but it's the kind of idea that actually works chemically inside us, I believe. It's like the idea, the bodhisattva ideal of vowing to come back. If there is a coming back, we vow to come back. And it's not so much about whether there's a coming back or not, but it's how we live as if there is a coming back. It changes our attitude, our direction. So transferring the merit, our merit for everything's welfare, gives our intention, makes it bigger than just taking care of ourselves, wider and more generous. So Dogen says, when one learns well, being born and dying are both giving. Like when my grandchildren say, Oma, please don't die. And I always say, I have to die because your children have to have room. There won't be any room for them. When one learns well, being born and dying are both giving. All productive labor is fundamentally giving. Entrusting flowers to the wind, birds to the season, also must be meritorious acts of giving. It is not only a matter of exerting physical effort. One should not miss the right opportunity. So I would encourage you this week to look for those opportunities, to really pay attention. What's needed moment after moment? Where can you open up? Are there questions? Francois?
Something you said completely went over my head. Don't understand it. How can how could coming back again change your attitude in what you're doing now?
Well, a lot of people think that they have to live this life because here we are, but we know we're going to die. So many people look forward to dying. Boy, one of these days I'll get out of here and I'm never coming back. This is too hard. Man, this is really rough. But with a bodhisattva vow, you have a completely different attitude. You say, I'm here to help as best I can, and if I can, I'll come back. So suddenly it's completely open-ended. And of course we don't know, and maybe we don't come back, but the attitude changes. It's no longer that sort of hateful feeling about one's own life. In fact, the life becomes very precious. I know, I had an argument with my two sons about this when I was in Texas. They just thought it was the screwiest thing they'd ever heard. It was a very funny argument, a whole evening. You know, it went into whether there is another life, and of course, we don't know.
Don't know. I've always been stuck in that argument. I've never, the thought of the open-endedness has never occurred to me.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's a powerful idea. Julian?
Would that be in parallel to a lot of traditions they talk about, I don't know, it's kind of like living between, well, I don't know, between is the right word, but living between life and death in terms of preparing, living your life as if it's your last day, and so you kind of, you know, when you're, rumor has it that when you die, you have this intense kind of looking back in your life, and it becomes a lot clearer what you messed up on, and what was right, or you know, that kind of perspective. I think it kind of fits with that.
Well, it certainly has been described many, many times. I know several people who've had that experience where their whole history just flashed before their eyes, just like that. And maybe that is preparation. Nobody knows, you know, or maybe it's just a little quirk in the brain that happens in emergency.
Certain decisions you've
yes.
made at one point, you know.
That led to something, that led to something,
and you're
yeah.
Whoa, where
right.
Like, and it's kind of, at least it kind of inspires awareness.
Mm-hmm.
This impulse to be aware of your life.
Yes. Yes, and value it. It's precious. Yeah. Anything else?
Talking with my mother today, and we were talking about the death of my 20-year-old niece without talking, you know, for me. You know, it's very careful not to bring her Jesse's name for the accident itself. But, and, you know, how you doing? It's okay. She says, yeah, people ask me how I'm doing, and I just tell them fine. And that just came up for me, thinking about 40, in a kind of a different way, because she might be getting support, or maybe it is just too painful for her to talk about it. That just was sort of popped up for me, maybe because I've been thinking about it.
Well, that is
if we're not, we're more of. It could also be under the right speech, though.
Mm-hmm.
Another way about it.
That is a place of suffering when people become so self-sufficient. That's a kind of hoarding also, hoarding oneself. Saying, oh, I don't need help, of course, I can take care of it. And it deprives people of the pleasure of helping. And actually helping is more than a pleasure, it's a kind of opening up. So that the what looks like begging practice in Japan, when the monks go around with a bowl, is called offering people the opportunity to give. Offering them dana paramita. Because it softens the mind and the heart if you are able to give even a grain of rice. Something happens. It's a chemical thing, I think. Something actually happens in the nervous system if we're able to let go of even a little thing. That's why studying this is so interesting, because it shows us how tightly we hold on to how many things. Even our own autonomy.
Suffering.
It's a lot of suffering in it. A lot of extra suffering in it. That's what you're seeing in your mom. Yeah.
Guardians.
Yes. Yes. And it's so natural. I mean, it's... Well, it's five of, and I do want to say some small thing about our dear Jane, whose last night this is. And I know how grateful we all are. We had a big celebration last Tuesday night, or not Tuesday, before last, with a great big cake and lots of talk in the back room. And we've had a chance to be together this week, which has been wonderful. And now it's arrivederci and au revoir and wishing you to fare well. I know you will. The best part of this terrible situation is that she is planning to come back in February for Sesshin. So we'll just have to survive until then. It's going to be hard.
Oh, it's our responsibility to survive.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, Sharon, that's exactly right. Yes. Yes. So we will just feel a little stretched, more stretched than we've been feeling with you, though you stretch yourself to London and Geneva and Rome already, so this shouldn't be so difficult. You've had a lot of practice, and we have too. So we'll just work it out. Yes. But all success to you. It's a great adventure. Brave adventure.